Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. Seaford might yet win it here for Wolves. Blast in the shot. What a goal!
Good evening and welcome to Wolves Fancast. My name is Matt. I'm joined by Josh, Ed and Tom. And we are here to keep you scintillated after a thrilling fixture at Molineux this evening. Gentlemen, how are we tonight?
Can't moan. All right.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Got out of dodge. Got out of dodge with another exciting game at Molineux. But we are here, of course, to discuss the draw with Nottingham Forest. A little bit of housekeeping first and foremost before we go any further. Just want to give a big thank you to our providers, Audi, and to the Boston Coffee Company for their support as always. And of course, thank you to all of the listeners on the show, whether that be live, whether that be on the podcast or however you consume this podcast/YouTube video. We really appreciate you. Stu is already in the chat, wants to get the important things out of the way first. I can only assume he's talking about I'm a Celeb or some other shite along those lines.
I know what he's on about. He's on about chip games.
Indulge me, Josh. Indulge me.
So we was having this debate in the pub yesterday with Dean. This is more exciting than the match, to be fair. So you're at the pub, got a plate of chips, whatever. Do you put the sauce on the chips or do you put it on the side?
Side.
It's not an animal.
Thank you. Dean, you better be watching. I'm glad
this answers a question of why I've got this lined up. Yeah, this answers it all now for me because I did wonder that, but yeah, I wouldn't have it all over because you don't know what else it's gonna contaminate. I can't remember who it was. There's like Premier Inn has brought out a plate with a massive divider in the middle, which
yeah, the beans. For the beans. Yeah, it's the Premier Inn sign as well, isn't it?
Premier Inn, that's the one. Well, listen, already we've got pandemonium in the chat. So if you are listening along live, please feel free to get your comments in and we'll try and answer as many of them as you can. And listen, with a game like yesterday, we need all the support we can get a podcast out of this because it wasn't the most exciting of football, I'm sure we can agree. And that leads me to my first question of the night, really, gents. Burnley, it was as dull as dishwater, let's be honest. But this had all the making of a bit more of a fiery affair. Of course, we had the circus that was last season with Forrest, Morgan Gibbs-White. Josh, from your point of view, did you think this was going to be a bit more of a barn burner, a bit more fire and taste to it?
It had that, it had all the ingredients to be a bit more tasty, didn't it, really? With, like, I saw a few, obviously, like, Saturday game, 3 o'clock, plenty of time in the pub, things like that beforehand. It had all the makings, you know, a chance to sack Cooper after some of the interesting moments of last season, and it just never lived up to that, did it, really, unfortunately. But I'm very happy with the point, I gotta say.
Yeah, it was one of those games, really, that I think beforehand you could have argued the case for any result that would have happened because of all of the external factors, such as the Cooper. Is he going to get sacked? Are they going to be up for it? Are they even playing for the shirt for Forest, etc.? Tom, from your point of view, looking at the build-up to the game, did you anticipate Forest going in a back five from their point of view, what would on paper appear to be quite defensive-minded, considering they absolutely needed the win?
I don't know if, did I need the win? I think there's a lot of pressure on not to lose. And we seem to be on the back of a lot of these. Like when a team's got absolutely hammered and the game before, I think half the time they're just looking then to just get a result or just to look a lot more solid and resilient. We saw it, I mean, years gone by when Blues lost, was it 7 or 8? And then they just stunk Molyneux out and got like a, I can't remember if they won or draw or drew, but it was an absolutely abject game. Bournemouth last season. So I think a lot of the time, I think teams are just looking to show that they've got a bit about them. And I think their lineup showed a lot about what they were looking to do. I mean, they didn't even play a striker, did they? So I think it was definitely safety first from them. And they were wasting time from minute one. You know, even before they took the lead, they were wasting time. So I think that told you all about their mentality, which ultimately led to the game we saw.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're not exactly Man City, like playing without that recognised striker. I think it was more like a necessity more than anything. Ed, from your point of view, then let's have a look at the lineup from a Wolves point of view. The big question, I suppose, at the back of the or at the start of the team, Jose Sa returning. Bentley put in a pretty good performance against Burnley, and many would have argued he deserved to maintain his spot. And Sa's a very decisive, polarising figure in the team anyway, for some justified, some not justified reasons. But as far as you're concerned, was Bentley unfortunate not to be starting? Or do you think, you know, is this as normal? Gary O'Neill has to go with his most experienced pros.
Yeah, I was on the review after the Burnley game preview for this game in midweek, and I said Sa should just come straight back in. We have a number one keeper for a reason, for me. Bentley did well when he came in, but, you know, it's there are levels to this, obviously, but, you know, no one's questioning Alisson coming straight back in for Liverpool, are they? And I don't think that we should question our number one keeper that we spent a lot of money on, who's being banded around, you know, 40-odd million people wanting for, to come straight back in, but probably leads us on nicely, Matt, to he does what he does, doesn't he, and polarises people with that first goal.
He does, yeah. Well, we certainly will come on to that shortly. I just wanted to get the two opinions on this, Josh, Tom. Well, Tom, you go first. Sa, it's a difficult one because when you've got 10 outfield players and you're a win, you can afford then to play other players and try and get experience. But that goalkeeper, that lonely goalkeeper, you can only play one of them. You have to play your best goalkeeper regardless of where they're going. You know, Arsenal have been kind of victims of this season. Where do you lie with Sarr and Bentley and kind of maybe even looking past this game?
Sarr's number one. I think he's got to be number one, hasn't he? We've seen enough of Bentley, I think, in the times that we've seen him to know what he's about. So he's a competent keeper, I would say, but I don't think he's someone you can rely on over the course of a season. And I suppose you could throw that at Sarr because he does have those moments in him, but you know, I think he ultimately is a better goalkeeper, so I think you play your best keeper. It did surprise me in the week because there was a poll put out, I think it was Judah who put it out, and I think it was a 65% in favour of Bentley over Sarr, which surprised me because most people I spoke to thought, you know, completely the opposite. So yes, it was harsh on Bentley, but I agree with the decision.
Josh, 3-3. You in agreement?
Yeah,
or?
I have to agree. I don't want to bring up that W game that happened a couple of years back, but that's what it builds down. You know, you got to play your best team all the time. And it was, whatever happened, it was kind of going to go against O'Neill, because if you'd have started Bentley and had lost, you'd have gone, play your best team. Or, you know, he didn't start. If you'd have, with what happened, you could easily go, well, why didn't you play Bentley? You know, I think it's just horses for courses, but you've got to play your best team, especially in a winnable game like that. You know, there's no time for any compassion and things like that. You've got to, in any sentiment, you've got to pick your best team.
Yeah, completely agree. Sarabia starts again. And then, of course, we went raw without Johnny. He was taken away, dispatched from the squad. So Sarabia, from his point of view, certainly lit up, I think is probably a bit wrong, but he's certainly impressed over the last few games. And it's felt like we kind of went with, not safety first, but an element of go with what's working. Ed, from your point of view, is that the right kind of forward line and midfield for you? Did you think that was, you know, with injuries being the way they are, there's a lot more we can do, to be fair, other than bring in a few of the younger players?
Yeah, I think that last point is probably the key one there, Matt, isn't it? It's the, there aren't many options off the bench. Bellegarde, we'll probably touch on later on, is the, did we play him instead of Sarabia? And maybe we needed to go with a more of a tricksy player, because everyone at Forest seems to be about 6'12" and massive. So I don't think we could have sort of, you know, the physical battle probably wouldn't have been one that we would have come out on top for. So you'd imagine Sarabia trying to get into the pockets of space, which he did from time to time, was probably the only way we could have gone yesterday. And yeah, the other option really for him instead is Bellegarde, and Sarabia is a little bit more of an established player on the back of a cameo against Spurs and then a relatively decent performance against Burnley, which is, you know, we're not talking about him being good against Blackpool anymore, at least. We're talking at least it's Premier League teams that he's better. He's turned up against in last few games.
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, it's kind of a needs must than opposed to anything. We'll get on to that when we look at the league table, actually, where does Gary O'Neill now have a bit of a luxury in being able to try things a little differently? But we'll come on to that, because results this weekend might have negated that argument altogether. But as the game kind of got underway, from my point of view, I very much felt like Burnley, in that no team wanted to make the first mistake. I don't think either showed a huge amount of impetus. Josh, how did you see the game kind of unfold, first 5, 10, 15? What did you think was going to happen? How was it panning out?
It was like typical Wolves, wasn't it? That for this reason, we can't seem to start. It takes us 15 minutes to get into a game and feel our way in. You know, and I think that was what was frustrating, because they're a team that's just lost 5, and now that's going to work for them in a way, because they're going to want, you know, they've just lost 5. They're going to be looking to sit back and nothing, like you said, don't want to make the first mistake. But it's just frustrating, because you think there's a chance there. You know, they've obviously, he's made every change to Cooper. Was it 6 or 7 changes? That's a relatively fresh team, that is. A lot of them want to play together, didn't play together in the week. And you think, look, go to him from the off, you know, go for the jugular. Early goal, 1-0 down, they're just going to collapse under that. And we didn't. And then we ended up making the first mistake and conceding. And I think that was what was so frustrating, because it was like we didn't start on the front foot, and then we made the first mistake, got punished for it. And then you're chasing the game after that against the 4 at the back team. So it was just one of them. It's the first 15 minutes. And it was like we kicked into gear then. And the rest of the first half was fantastic, but it was just so frustrating.
I agree completely. Tom, I'll let you do the honours, unfortunately. Talk us through the first goal. It was a multitude of errors, wasn't it? It wasn't like singled down to one individual. I suppose this blame can be attributed however you like, but it was kind of, there's a few errors there, isn't there, across the team?
Yeah, definitely. It was extremely scrappy in that corner. I think, I mean, Totti, I don't know if we're going to do separately on Totti, because he had one of those games, didn't he? But I'm sure he made a massive cock up, then sort of rectified it, and then tried to play a pass out, which was awful, and they scored from that. So, I mean, that was awful in itself. And then we weren't set, really. As soon as that went to the back post, I knew that was a goal as well, because I really like Semedo, but if someone's coming in over the top of him, they're scoring every time. And I don't know if anyone saw the Luton goal today, but if you've got someone who's just taller than you at the back post, it doesn't matter how good a footballer you are, and they've got the jump on you, it's a goal. I don't know. It's one of them. I've watched it a few times, and I've changed my mind a numerous amount of times on it, to be fair. He probably was in a bit of no man's land. To really say it's ultimately down to him, I'm not sure. That's probably quite fair. And then Dawson was nearly heroic, wasn't he? Just unfortunately, just couldn't hook his foot quite around it enough.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that Luton goal today, because there are echoes of Wolves conceding that goal with Luton as well. You could argue with the keeper also, and the back post as well. One of those, like, everything that you get with Semedo, the trickery, the pace, the passing ability, everything has to have balance. You're losing the physicality side of it somewhat. So it's a difficult one. let's talk about it while we're here. Talk about individual performances. Totti, for all of his short space of time, I think we need to remember how quickly he'd established himself as a first teamer. Didn't have a great game, Ed, did he, yesterday? He looked off the pace. His passing range was pretty poor. Very bad day at the office for the young man.
Yeah, he has games like this, doesn't he, where it's sort of like a brain fart for 90 minutes, isn't it? I think that's... I said on Wednesday when we did the brief review, do we move him to left wing back? Because Bueno was a little bit negative maybe against Burnley. And I think with Totti, sometimes he looks like the second coming of sort of George Alakobi, where it's sort of, it's all a bit clumsy and it's all a bit sort of like, you know, he'll make up for it because he's stronger, slightly quicker than someone else. And then like that goal we scored where he did a little roulette and he sets it up, you know, was that Man City? I think it wasn't it? I can't remember, was it Newcastle? That was it. And he'll have moments where he looks like a footballer rather than an athlete. But yesterday for me, I think he looked like an athlete. He looked like, you know, a bloke that knows his way around a gym, but maybe not around a five-a-side pitch. And he has games like that. And I think we have to take the rough with the smooth with him, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've heard a few calls about the whole left fullback scenario. Hugo Bueno had a difficult game as well, wasn't allowed. To be fair, the balls into him were never fantastic. And he never seemed to have that. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or not, but we're so used to him kind of either almost like a rugby, like playing the ball on and then chasing onto it or just doing some trickery to get around. It just something about the performance from a lot of the team felt starved of ideas and creativity. Josh, from your point of view, we had one of the comments just saying about how the left-hand side down the pitch with or without the ball were less than impressive. Were there any standouts from kind of Hugo that you thought something's not quite right here?
He looks like he's unfit to me. Like, he looks like he's kind of... Obviously, I know he was injured just before with what happened with Agnew, but it looks like he's kind of come back in and he's still not fully fit himself. And he just... Maybe, I don't know what it is, but I just remember, like... I didn't remember the contrast between him and Agnew being so stark. I remember Bueno being a really talented... Like, he was so talented. I think he did... For the first part, like, he lived off that Palace cross for a while, you know, at the start of his Wolves. He's like, he did that once and it was like, he's going to do that every time. But, like, defensively, he was just so weak. And Neco Williams, he's not a great fullback, but he put Bueno to shame yesterday, really. The amount of times, he looked like he wanted it a bit more as well, Williams. It was like the amount of times Bueno just couldn't go around him and things down that line. It was really... He looked unfit to me. He looks like he could do with a game out or whatever, or maybe whether it was because two games in, it's like 6 days, well, less than that, isn't it? Two games, about 3 or 4 days. Maybe that was a bit too much for him.
Yeah, I agree completely. We've got some interesting comments in the chat, and please, as many of them in as you can. No outlet for Bueno or Semedo really once they receive the ball wide from Andy Jeffs. It was a strange one from all areas of the pitch, really. I thought Wolves looked not about leggy. I don't think, like, from a stamina point of view or anything like that, Wolves were any different than any really other day, but I just felt some of the creative ideas were a bit lacking. Where we weren't lacking, though, is Matheus Cunha's goal. And he is starting to really become that player that is starting to turn the screw every game and having an impact in nearly every game that he's in. None more so than this game, a goal when we absolutely needed it. Ed, from your point of view, Cunha, not only this goal, talk me through it, but the reliable kind of... There's a few reliable players now that are cropping up in this squad. I don't think we've considered... getting anywhere near as many goals from as many players as we have so far this season compared to the last couple of seasons. But talk to me about Cunha in this game and his impact on the squad generally.
Yeah, I think, what is it, 5 goals now this season, which is the trope about him coming into the season, and to be fair, the start of the season was that he's great up until that last bit, isn't it? Getting it in the back of the net, but 5 goals for him and what 8 for Hwang. We are kind of spreading them nicely around the front line. Cunha, I love him. I think his energy is infectious. He engages with the fans whenever possible, and I know that's a little corny. It's a little sappy, isn't it, to do that? But we all love it. Let's not pretend we don't. When a player does that to you, everyone goes in for it, don't they? It's a bit cringe when you look at it, but when you're in the moment, it's all you want, isn't it? And his busyness around the pitch is, I think, he's also infectious. I think he's definitely seems to be part of the leadership group. I mean, he's even got his own chant, so that says everything you need to know about how the fans feel about him. But my only concern is, I think, the point that you've just pulled up there from the guy watching, he's not a focal point for a number 9, so therefore that does make our wing-back sort of not have that outlet. But what we do have in him is someone who wants the ball all the time and will always drive forward, and I think that is something that we need to harness. We need to make the most of him in that role, because he was able to do that without putting the ball in the back of the net, and now he started to, you know, that's a lovely finish as well. That's a lovely little slot into the corner. You know, that's not a hit and hope. That's not sort of a it's come off his arse and gone in kind of goal. That he's meant that, hasn't he? And if we can harness everything else that he was doing well whilst he's in this rich vein of form, there's no reason why we shouldn't be looking up the table, to be honest.
It's so funny because for the goal and the build-up to the goal, it was kind of, we remembered who the fuck we were. It just, out of nowhere, we just started just passing the ball around in this smooth passage of play and just played our game, not be dragged down to the level of the opposition, which is what happened against Luton, it happened against Sheffield United, it happened against Burnley. We just woke up and then we scored, and then Forest defended resolutely again, and then the game continued its course. But Tom, from your point of view, we'll talk about a few individual performances as well. Cunha, Hwang, and a couple of others have chipped in as well. But Hwang had a quiet game by his standards, his high standards. Where did you think he fit into? What kind of stopped him being that 8 or 9 out of 10 that he has been for us a lot of these times this season?
He was played quite central, wasn't he? I think it generally he seems to be his best when he's cutting in or you know, when he's wider. And I know only I think it's because obviously Neto's out, so Sarabia seemed to have a bit of a free role, which meant that him and Cunha were up front as a two. But even when yeah, there was just one up there, it was usually Cunha who dropped deep, and he got out muscled, didn't he? The physicality just got to him. I mean, he doesn't help himself, does he? Just any time he can hit the deck. That one in the second half really wound me up. That was right in front of me. I mean, that's just a dive, isn't it? And I know we've had a few of those go against us, but he's never getting a penalty from that. Stay on your feet, hold the ball up, wait for a contact if you like. You know, but he's got to do better than that. And if you're going to play up front, you know, our most central player, you've got to do much, much better than that. Fabio would be getting pelters if he was doing that. So I think he let himself down a little bit, but you've got to keep him on the pitch because he's a goal threat. So I completely understand why he was on there for 90 minutes. And, you know, he's had a brilliant season. I'm not knocking the guy. I think he'll get up another gear when Neto's back in the team, I think, because those three as a three threat this season were fantastic, and I think that'll happen again once he's back. I don't think it's a coincidence that his form's dropped a little bit since Neto's on that team.
Yeah, it's one of those where the impact, whilst it might not be on the score sheet or the assists, even though Neto was, it's so blatantly obvious to see. Even if it's just put fear in the opposition. You know, looking at the front three, put my teeth in as we have it, in this game, you know, the three with Sarabia there, he put a lot of good will and faith in with the fan base after his amazing goal contribution against Spurs. But Neto just provides you that spark, that energy, something completely different. I really hope that he can get back up to speed and form as quickly as he can after his injury, because obviously, Neto hasn't been blessed with his injury record over his career at Wolves so far. So, everything's crossed that he can. A couple of decent cameos from the subs bench. I thought Boubacar Traoré was barely at least alive. Makes it sound like how bad we were, but he seemed really up for it, Josh. From my point of view, he was like urgent, I guess is the better word. He was quick to get the ball up the field when he could and play that outfield ball to Semedo. I really like him, and I think that we're starting to see him come up the pecking order. And I think Gomez, as far as I'm concerned, he's coming down it slightly. It might just be me, but I think there's room there. I think there's a bit of wiggle room for Boubacar Traoré to start to come into the team. What say you, and how did you think, as a cameo, he was in this game?
Didn't think he was too bad. He was trying to really drive down the line, wasn't he? He was trying to offer that eight ball for Semedo. When he come on, he was really like getting down the wing, and it's like, I don't want Traoré right there. I think, I've got to be honest, I watched just the last two games, and I'm maybe starting to shift towards if we can look at playing another midfield. I think with Breno at the minute, he might have to look at dropping him, put Totti back at left back, and then I feel like there's more of an urgency to have three midfield, because I feel like we've seen like such a drop off, and I think it feels easy for us to be targeted. If Lamina, I mean, if you like the amount of ground Lamina and Gomez cover, it's unbelievable. And Traoré can do that, but Doyle can't. And I feel like that's where we're struggling. You could have done with a player like Doyle. Yes, there's someone who's going to play a bit through the lines. Someone else to it, like Sarabia, who's going to put his foot on the ball, maybe slow the tempo down a little bit and kind of work his way into the game. And I'm watching this at the minute. I think we could maybe do that third midfield. Or you can have Boubi in midfield to start and have like Gomez, Lamina, Boubi. You're just going to cover space. It doesn't feel like we're going to get overrun as much as it felt like yesterday. There was that, folks could overrun us in midfield. They always had that extra body, and that hurt us. And Lamina's not going to be able to cover like all them yards he does every single game. Because you have an off game, you're going to feel it and things like that. So, you know, I think maybe there's an argument for having switching to a free midfield again.
Absolutely fair, I think. Especially for the points you made. Gully, with his excellent Gully's tactical analysis, put a great tweet on. I don't have it lined up to show you, unfortunately, around what we kind of miss in midfield by having our current setup and what we've had in previous years. I'm sure if he's listening, he can enlighten us in the chat. But something I think needs a switch up when it comes to our creativity. I want to touch on that after the break in regards to what it is going forward that we do. Ed, from your point of view, any other standout performances, good, bad or ugly? Or is it one that you just want to forget and move on to the next one?
Yeah, I think we can forget most of it. I think there was a little bit of a, not just the obvious chance that from Kilman, that he sort of dallied on the ball a little bit. I don't think he had his best game yesterday in terms of sort of, we didn't see much of his coming out with the ball and playing those balls that he's been able to do in recent weeks. I don't know if it's just because Forrest really did sit back and sort of the space wasn't there for people, but I love Kilman, part of the Kilman club for a long time, but I don't think he had his best game in the Wolves shirt yesterday. But I don't think it really anyone was more than a 6 out of 10. I think yesterday, like you said earlier, Matt, I think he summed it up. We definitely played down a level. We punched down instead of punching up yesterday. We saw a team come to our place that hadn't won in 5 and decided that we were going to play at their level. And I think that's when you do that, you're never going to get any standout performances.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly there. I mean, if the Express the Stars keyboard, the number 6 wasn't already worn away with some of our team's performances, it certainly was with that 6 out of 10 performance from the team anyway, to be fair. But what we're going to do, we're going to have a short break, allow you to grab some refreshments. If you're listening from the podcast world, then go do what you need to do. But we will have a quick break. And in fact, just before we go through, I've got the comment, actually, Gully, his ears must have been burning. Aitnuri and Neto raise the ceiling of this system. Without them, we need an extra midfielder for games and we have lots of possession. Far too predictable otherwise. So kind of echoing, Josh, what you were saying as well. That extra midfielder kind of gives us that capacity to do more and allow us a little bit a release of the pressure of that being bombarded and being overrun. So great minds think alike from that point of view. So we'll have a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a few different things. Creativity, substitutions. Does Doyle deserve a run out, as we mentioned before? Difficult run of fixtures, and I want to talk about the crowd and one Morgan Gibbs-White that got off quite lightly, in my humble opinion. But we'll be back with you very shortly after a very, very quick break. Welcome back to Wolves Fancast. We are here discussing the draw with Nottingham Forest this weekend. Thank you very much for everybody that is listening along live, or whether you're listening via a podcast, or whether you are watching along on YouTube. Once again, please get your comments in via the chat. We'll try our very level best to get them read out and interact with the show as much as possible. If you're not already, first of all, what are you doing? But B, follow us at Wolves Fancast across the social media platforms as well. You can keep up to date with all of the content across the channel. So I wanted to talk about in the second half of the podcast, first of all, creativity in the team. It felt like we were lacking ideas in this game. We obviously know that we have technical players, and we know that we have some real standout young talent. But Burnley, this game, Sheffield United, Luton, other, admittedly, against teams that are going to set up to defend, this game especially, I really felt like we struggled with ideas, and we didn't know how to break a team down. Tom, from your point of view, what was the key issue there? Was it one player wasn't grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck? Is it the fact that there's been a lot of games thick and fast? It's just maybe a case of fatigue. Where do you see this creativity issue lying?
I think it's just a chronic lack of pace. And I don't mean necessarily physical pace from the player. It's just pace of the ball, movement of the ball. It was way too slow. It was way too ponderous. I think the fact we couldn't get out by playing out of the back. Forest were happy to let us play out of the back, but it would go to our wing backs and it would go straight back to the centre half. So you miss so much if you haven't got Ait Nouri playing, because he's a massive outlet for us and has been this season. When a team sits in, you've got to have players who can break the lines. You've got to have players who can take people out of the game. Kuna does it. But I mean, as soon as Lamina went off yesterday, I'd have taken a point at that point, because for me, Forest became favourites as soon as Lamina went off, because anyone with any sort of urgency wasn't on the pitch, apart from, you could argue, Kuna. So I think a lot will change naturally when Neto and Ait Nouri get back, because they are those types of players. But it's been a problem for years, hasn't it? We struggle to break teams down when they're in a low block. And to be fair, teams better than us do as well, don't they, ultimately? And I think sometimes it comes down to a bit of individual brilliance, and the better players you have on the pitch, the better, you know, you've got someone who's just going to, you know, do something out of the ordinary, and maybe pop something in from 25 yards. I mean, you saw how City struggled against Luton today. It wasn't a bombardment by any stretch of the imagination, in my opinion. You know, but eventually, you know, Bernardo Silva just curls one in from the edge of the box and it's game on. So I think sometimes you have to rely on a bit of individual brilliance. But like I said, I think a lot will change when Ait Nouri and Neto are back in the side, to be fair.
Yeah, couldn't come any sooner, really. Josh, the correct word used there is urgency. Felt like there was a bit of lacking. Maybe it's confidence, I don't know. I don't want to be one of those people, and believe me, I'm sat around enough of them where I'm sat, who groan and any time a sidewards pass goes side, you know. But they did feel like there was a... Scared isn't the word, but they felt like there wasn't... they're not wanting to get the ball forward quite as much. The safer option was took more often than it wasn't. And how did that feel for you? You know, did it feel like a bit of a performance that we were looking not to make the mistake again as we were going through after we conceded such a sloppy goal?
I think you nailed it early, Matty, what you said about not being... wanted to be the first one to make the mistake and not wanting to make the mistake throughout the match. There was that lack of, just lack of quality, wasn't it, from both sides? You know, and I think that's what, why we struggled so much. That, you know, you look at our goal and, you know, in credit their goal, it was the one time both sides had a little bit of quality. Mm-hmm. and it, you know, there was a goal scored. I just think it comes back to, like, we've been saying earlier, it's like, you look at the midfield too, like Lamina Gomez, and they're not known for creativity, and they're like, you know, I think they're really good, like, in for the yards. And it's also a lack of options off the bench, obviously. We're going to go on to it, I presume, but you've got, O'Neill's got a lack of trust in what's on his bench, and also it's like he's kind of wedded, we said it on the show last week after Arsenal, sticking to two midfield, you know, sticking to that, like, not taking a centre half off or anything like that, and I think that's going to kind of hurt us in these sort of games, because we need the extra body in midfield, like a Doyle, you know, because I think that's the issue. This is why he's not playing Doyle, because he's not got the ability to put the yards in that's needed for a team on midfield. And that's what's hurting us, because you need Doyle, someone who's like a deep line playmaker, he's going to get on the ball, he's going to look for the forward pass, but he's like, he can't cover the yards with that. And it's like, this is where Neves and Matini have struggled for years. Every time we've become playing against the big two-man midfield, I always remember Watford when we first got promoted. Ducore and Capoue just did an absolute number on him, did that athleticism. This is what Burnley, Hans mentioned the other day, which games like yesterday when you need those creative players, the little ones who've got that individual quality, that spark.
Well, segue beautifully, teed Ed up a treat there, because I wanted to talk about Doyle and what he offers, but what he lacks physically to compare to his output. Ed, is there a case to argue for Doyle's input on the game? We've got, you know, West Ham coming up, who were pumped today. They're going to be, you know, potentially self-preservation, setting themselves up in a more defensive way when they play us. Is it time for Doyle to shine for you, or, you know, by putting in Doyle and changing the midfield to accommodate him, because that's what we'd have to do, is that too much too soon? Is it a bit of an overreaction to kind of go in like that, seeing as where we are in the table, where we were expected to be by pundits and fans alike? What say you?
For me, I think it's a perfect time for us to try something different. Games come thick and fast. If it works, we can carry on with it. If it doesn't work, we can revert back. For me, I think we'll play West Ham, then there'll be more games over Christmas. We've got Chelsea, haven't we, on Christmas Eve. We can play Doyle in the next game. We can either mix it up and play through midfield like Josh has talked about, or for me, he could maybe come in for Gomez. I think Gomez does a very good job of the shielding, of the busyness, the tenacity, which hopefully Doyle, week by week, will be getting fitter, so he'll be able to do that role a little bit. But I think, why not try it? I think when we talked about the creativity, space was a premium in yesterday's game. And what we have seen in some of the cameos from Doyle is that he doesn't mind picking up pockets of space and playing through the lines. And if it doesn't work in the next game against West Ham, just sack him back to the bench and we'll try something different. I think Christmas might be the right time to try different things, because the team and the fans will have to forget about whether it worked or not and get on to the next one anyway. So if it doesn't work, we can always revert back to plan A, which we know is getting us, what, 13th in the table, which we'd have snatched your hand off for the week before the start of the season. So I think now, for me, is the perfect time to experiment.
Ed, so ruthless. I'd hate to see your fantasy football. the amount of deductions you've had for your changes. Well, that again leads us on nicely to the table. And looking at Wolves at the moment, sitting pretty in 13th. You know, I think it's 10 points from the relegation zone at the moment, with the teams in and around the relegation zone. I mean, don't get me wrong, there were a few surprise results over the weekend, but Wolves absolutely have a cushion over the relegation candidates at the moment. With that in mind, Tom, and the table looking the way it is now the time to kind of experiment and allow Gary O'Neill the time to really know, if he can, what he needs to bring in January?
Yeah, I think he's got an idea of that already, to be fair. I think Josh summed it up perfectly earlier when he said he doesn't have faith in a lot of people on his bench, and I think that's so obvious. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Fabio and Sasha both leave in January, to be honest. I think they'll get at least a striker, maybe a winger. But yeah, I've got nothing against giving a few players a go. The only thing I'll say about Doyle is, I mean, He's played well for about probably 45 minutes, if we're being truthful, in his Wolves career. He was excellent at Bournemouth. He really, really was. Against 10 men. But yeah, granted, he took the game by scruff of the neck, and ultimately I think he probably did get us the 3 points on that day. But the other games he's played, I think he hasn't really, you know, he had a really good chance to sort of nail down a position at Sheffield United. Didn't take that. But yeah, absolutely. When the games are coming thick and fast around Christmas, there's some tired legs. And I think he could see that yesterday as well. I think in the second half, we just ran out of steam. And, you know, and there was just a chronic sort of lack of drive. So yeah, absolutely. Yin and around, you know, Christmas, why not? Give it a go. I think one thing I've noticed in the last, at least the last couple of games and before, that there are some shite teams in this league. I really don't think we need to be worrying too much about, you know, some of them overtaking. I mean, they were, Forest were dreadful, weren't they? And that was literally a good result for them. But I think if they had any bollocks about them, they could have got 3 points yesterday quite easily. So I think that shows you where their mentality is. Burnley, woeful. Sheffield United will still go down. And I think Luton look plucky, but I think they're just not ultimately not good enough. So I think they'll probably be one of the ones to drop down as well. So yeah,
even teams like Palace and stuff, they're worse than us. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
think we're
comfortable.
Yeah, this is it. So why not? But there's so much pressure, isn't there, from owners? A lot of, you know, each position counts for quite a lot of cash in the bank. And if we are scrabbling around for those few million every season, then you know it's a tough one. But I mean, he's already come across this, hasn't he? He's already changed from what he ultimately, you know, what he started the season with. So, you know, he's already had, and he always talks about being adaptable. So, I think we will see various changes, you know, across the season. There's a Brownhill link as well today, wasn't there? So I think they've already got a pretty good idea of what they want. And they probably should do at this point now, because what is it? Yeah. 2-3 weeks before the window opens. So, I think they'll have their targets pretty much nailed now, and I don't think too much will change between now and January to change his mind.
2-3 weeks till the window open means I am criminally behind on my Christmas shopping. Thank you for that. absolutely none. You mentioned the word leggy and tired, and I agree completely, which begs the question, why did Sasser only get 4 minutes, Ed? Someone, and I don't know who, so I apologise. If you're in the chat, let me know. Someone said, is it just ultimately the fact that Kolasinac and Fabio Silva just aren't good enough for this squad? Or is there something else there from an O'Neill substitution point of view that means he should be the one criticised for this? Because what was he going to do with 4 minutes? It just seemed like a really odd substitution to be making. Didn't really give him a lot of chance to, you know, it can't be the Everton game week in, week out. So Ed, what was your thought process, and how did you think he was going to affect the game, if at all?
He's just not with 4 minutes to go, is he? I think I've said before when I've been on the pod that for me, when I look at substitutions, I look at the reason for them, and there is no reason for 4 minutes unless someone's, you know, broken the leg, they're on the heels with cramp, whatever. There is no reason to bring someone on with 4 minutes to go. They're not warm. They're not into the game. They don't know the pace of the game. No one's going to, you know, the Jimmy Glass moments where you score with the last kick of the game only happen once every blue moon, and it's not going to happen that often. The only real complaint that I still have left with King Gary is with his substitutions. For me, they seem a bit late at times. Whether or not that's from what Tom's talked about, the fact that, or Josh, whoever it was, one of the guys said that he doesn't trust the bench. I think that's definitely part of it. I think poor Fabio's on a hide into nothing. He comes on with 15 minutes to go and he's just asked to run around like a headless chicken. You know, he's only ever brought on when we need energy up front. Sasha seems to only be brought on when we need a plan B, which is a head on a stick up front kind of vibes. That's the kind of vibes that we're getting from those substitutions. They don't fit who they come on for. You bring on Sasha for Cunha, they're polar opposites of players. You bring on Fabio Silva for a Sarabia or a Neto previously. He's not a winger. He's not a tricky player like that. They don't fit. Those two players don't fit the system that Gary's moulded us into. So against Everton earlier on in the season, we didn't really have a system yet. He was still very new. Sasha coming on with about 20 minutes to go made sense that we wanted to change it up. It was 0-0. Sarr had made that brilliant save. All of that made sense. Now, when we know that the centre forward's expected to drift and stuff, we don't have a player like that on the bench. So they just don't fit the system anymore.
Mm. Josh, let's get your take on this from your point of view. The substitution seemed strange. It felt like there was no impact he was going to make on the game. I hadn't even thought of it from the system point of view like you, Ed. But where do you lie with this, the substitute side of things in this game, and kind of how there have been some questionable decisions from a substitutions point of view?
I think it just boils down to simply a lack of trust for me. He's got, like, I think Gully said it on Twitter yesterday. There's like 13 players he trusts in there. And I think that's what it boils down to. There is now, you know, it's like before the game, you could almost name the subs he was going to make yesterday. And there was going to be Doherty was going to come on for Breno. Bellegarde was going to come on for Sarabia. And then after that, it was like maybe Sasha will come on. But what I couldn't understand yesterday, the amount of times Forrest forced us wide and he didn't bring on Kalajdzic. I just didn't understand that, really. It was like Hwang was having a poor game. I know that Hwang does that, he has a poor game, and then he'll have a magic moment and score the winner. And you're like, can't believe, you know, that's why you keep him on. But it's just yesterday, it was like you could see it wasn't working for him, it wasn't his day. And he just doesn't trust him, does he? And I think that's just what it boils down to. I mean, hey, can you not want to just, like, 15 minutes to go, it's 1-1, and you're not just lobbing Kalajdzic on and just going, right, hit the box every time? You know, that's what I can't understand. But I guess if he doesn't trust them, then that's why. And if he doesn't feel like he's going to trust them, then we're not going to win games because of it. And we'll be dropping points in, you know, like, well, yesterday we'd have lost that if he doesn't trust what's to come on. So I guess what can you say?
Yeah. I mean, the amount of times earlier in the game when, like, Semedo would get to the byline and then pump it into the box that you'd want a player like Kalajdzic on. It's like square pegs and round holes. But speaking of our leader-in-chief, Gary O'Neill made some comments after the game. Just loading them up on the screen now. We're probably all feeling, as the fans feel, we're just as frustrated that we didn't show more quality and more oomph to cause them some problems. Talking about disappointed that we lack quality to break down a very defensive setup. Didn't find ways of getting behind. And pleased with the work the lads have put in the week. There's nothing groundbreaking there. It's not going to break the internet like Kim Kardashian or anything like that. But I think it kind of summed up, Tom, how the game just felt flat, lacking ideas. Gary O'Neill isn't, you know, media-wise, he is very good. He's very likeable. And he's unlikable by the right people as well. And what I mean by that is on the internet, those it's like, other clubs seem to have a problem with him. The ref organisations obviously do for obvious reasons, but there's nothing there from Gary O'Neill that really is a surprise to us, is it?
No, not at all. The one thing that I don't think we mentioned there was he said, oh, subs didn't have an impact, which I think is a little bit of a nod to the board or to Hobbs to give him some options. And he did obviously mention the injuries and what have you. One thing I will say, I was a little bit maybe disappointed that they got booed. There's a few like smatterings of boos, and you know, yeah, we weren't great, but you know, I'll give them a break a little bit. The one thing I'll say about these two games, yes, we've been shite twice, but we've got 4 points. So there's years gone by where we've been shite twice and we'd have got 0 points from those two games. Right. So if you're gonna be shit, at least be resilient and grind out a result. And we did. So yeah, okay, it's a bit worrying that we haven't been great for maybe three, arguably four games now. However, 4 points from two games, yeah, okay, we'll take it. I probably would have taken it beforehand. So you know, yeah, 4 points from two games. Let's not argue too much about it.
Headline: Tom blasts fans in the stats.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that.
No, yes. Well, no, to be fair, that's the point I wanted to make. So we had John McGinn with Villa. We had Nunes for obvious reasons with City. Yeah, there was some. There was early on in the game, Morgan Gibbs-White was getting pelters, but the crowd itself felt flat. And I know that's a direct result of what's going on the pitch. And Gary O'Neill has talked in the past about how kind of the crowd can help dictate the game and vice versa. But something just felt a little off from all parties. Maybe it was the hangover that I was certainly feeling that game. But it was just, there was something just not quite there today. I don't know if it's just the weather or whatever, but something just didn't feel quite there. But you're absolutely right, Tom, what you say. 4 points out of two games, which could very easily have been banana skins for us going into a difficult run of fixtures. Ed, obviously we'll have our preview show against West Ham, but Fulham, again, tonking a team we're about to play, doing us no favours. How do you expect the game against West Ham to be now that they are kind of having to go back to the drawing board and not face another dicking like they did today?
Well, first of all, have we got a buyback clause on Raul? Because I wouldn't mind that right now after he back heels a ball in and then scores again today. West Ham are going to revert to David Moyes' type, aren't they? They're going to go back to what probably similar to what Forest are doing to stop this rot. 5-0 to Fulham. Fulham weren't any great shakes when we played them and haven't seen any of that game yet today, but to score five against West Ham. West Ham look beat as well. Every week they seem to play the same 12 players and they play twice a week, whereas most teams only play once. So they're going to... We could argue, and I'm sure little Dan will, when he does the preview show, will argue they could be there for the taking in terms of physically. Are they, with the games coming thick and fast, and they already look shattered? But he's going to go as defensive as possible, isn't he, and try and stop the rot. I think, like Tom said, that Forest did yesterday. I think that's where West Ham are going to go. And just on Mateus Nunes, watching the game earlier with my mum and dad, and when his name came on the pitch, my mum looked up from her phone and just went, "That arse bag," and then just that was the only thing she said about the whole thing. It's a swear word I've never heard before, but I like it, and that's all I'm going to see him as now. He's arse bag.
Just one huge arse bag, absolutely. One final thing before we wrap up this show. We're here to answer the big questions that people need to hear. Josh, this one's for you. We want to know, clearly you are in the underground basement of Nigel Farage here with this wallpaper. And people want to know also what is going on with this wallpaper. Talk us through it. That is the most patriotic thing I think I've seen this decade so far.
What
was this,
what
a choice?
Song is it?
Was this
Rule Britannia, Britannia rule throughout waves? it's like I think I
that's not exactly going on.
It was because I was I've been in this house like 10 years now. So obviously when I moved in, I was only like 11. So I didn't kind of have the sort of choice that I couldn't dictate and go, I want a signed Wolf shirt, or like Tom's got behind him, all them Wolf shirts. It was like, you'll have what you give it, and that was the choice. A bit disappointed answer, I know, but what can I say?
Get the old wallpaper table out, mate. It's time.
I should just get like a fake shirt.
Listen, thank you very much, everybody, for... That's the one. Listen, thank you very much, everybody, for watching this evening or listening when you are listening to it. We really do appreciate your time. Thank you for everybody in the comments for getting in touch. At Wolves Fancast is where you need to go for all of your social media needs. Thank you to the Boston Coffee Company. Thank you to Audi for being our provider. And thank everybody on the show as well. Ed, Tom, Josh, been a pleasure to discuss Forest with you and hopefully the last of the more laborious games that we have to submit ourselves to week in and week out. Once again, thank you to those in the comments as well for giving us something to tick along with as we delve into Wolves. So have a great rest of the evening, everybody. Enjoy the rest of what's left of the weekend. And have a great week ahead. And we will be with you for Gully's Tactical Analysis. And we will have the preview show in the week as well. So have a great rest of the day.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?
Off goes Wolves. People might
yet Willie's here